Mike's bike. Tina could only watch as the space blazer carried Mike away into the night. Within a second, he was 1,000 feet up. Within 2 seconds, he was 1 mile up. And 1 minute later, he was still going up. At last, Mike found the cutout switch and the bike slowed to a stop. He looked down for the first time, and hanging there in the darkness was a tiny green and blue ball. "That's a funny colour for a tennis ball," he thought. But it was not a ball. It was the world. You could make out Africa and India quite easily. When Mike realised how far away he was from home, he began to feel rather small and lonely, and just a little frightened. As he drifted in space, he dug his hands in the pockets of his spacesuit. But all he found was the wrapper from a Venus chocolate bar. Then, suddenly, he saw the welcoming lights of a spaceship twinkling ahead of him, and he felt much better. But something was not quite right. As the craft got closer, he could see a man in a spacesuit dangling from a lifeline, waving frantically. He seemed to be shouting, but Mike couldn't hear a word. Then he saw a tiny silver box moving rapidly off into space. He knew what he had to do at once and pressed the bike's rocket button. The machine roared into life and Mike zoomed after the floating, spinning box. Scooping it up, he tucked it in his space pocket and headed towards the spaceship. He pulled alongside the enormous grey hull. As he climbed into the airlock, a great cheer went up from the crew. He was a hero.
"Smart work, kid," said the captain. "That box is vital, you know. It's our space compass. We'd have been lost without it."
He tried to mop his brow, but he was still wearing a helmet.
"You deserve a reward."
"Well, I'd just like to go home, please," said Mike. "I'm feeling really tired."
So the captain put the ship into hyperdrive and set his course for Earth, using the space compass.
Wow!
Mike's tennis ball got larger and larger until it filled the whole window. Soon, Mike began to see fields glistening in the moonlight, and then the river snaking towards his hometown.
"That's where I live," he shouted. "Can you drop me off here?"
The captain pinned a special medal on Mike's suit and steered the ship carefully until it hovered right over his house.
"Stand over the launch chute," he said.
Mike picked up his helmet and walked to the tube. Suddenly, there was a strange noise, and he felt himself falling. Mike clutched wildly at the air with his hands, and then shut his eyes. When he opened them again, he was in his bed, and the sun was streaming in through the window. He rubbed his eyes and looked up at the poster on the wall.
"There's the space blazer. And Tina." So it was all a dream.
But he had not looked under the bed.